Wolf, and Luke.
Who are you?
Okay, then.
Ron Wolfley.
Ron Wolfley. What is up? Witchbuster extraordinaire. Love that guy.
Luke Lipinski.
He sounds pretty good. He sounds pretty articulate.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It is Friday, and what a great Friday, Wolf. I'm going to ask you right out of the gate here. I got a question for you, okay?
Okay, here it is, a quiz Friday, apparently.
I've got four things I'm pretty excited about in the world of sports this weekend. Okay?
Okay, great.
Right out of the gate. We've got the Dodgers could be eliminated by the next time we do a show. Now, Atlanta has gone down this path before and messed it up, but it's at least possible, okay?
Without a doubt, please, 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 please.
They had their chance last night. They have another chance tomorrow. They'll have another chance on Sunday. I probably would still pick the Dodgers, but it's possible, okay?
Yes.
Suns-Lakers tonight. What better way to bounce back from losing your opener than by beating the Lakers in L.A.? That's possible.
Yeah, no, that is.
ASU's off this weekend, so I don't have to stress out about them. Really, I'm very fired up for that bye week.
Here we go. Okay, good. We get to sit here and look at everyone else lose.
Yeah, okay. It is the Pac-12. Yes. Sometimes the best way to move up is to just not play. And the Cardinals.
What's number four here?
The Cardinals could be 7-0. These are in no particular order.
Okay. All right. The Cardinals could be 7-0 right now, Cap. Wow. I mean, honestly, right now, as you look back at the start of the season, did you ever see the Arizona Cardinals being 7-0?
No. No.
I mean, honestly.
And think about it. We come in here, the next show we do is Monday, okay? It is possible that the Suns are 2-1 and they've beat the Lakers. It's possible. It's possible the Dodgers are out. It's possible, in fact, it's guaranteed ASU won't have played this weekend.
Right.
And it's possible the Cardinals, maybe even probable, the Cardinals are 7-0.
7-0 right now. I fully expect them to go out and be 7-0. And do you have any idea how uncomfortable that makes me?
It makes me uncomfortable to hear you say
right?
it.
There's just no way this is happening right now and on this beautiful Friday in a fall that I love so much. Isn't this awesome, Basin audience? We're just sitting here enjoying this incredible sunshine and this beautiful weather. And guess what? It's going to be this way for the next 7 months.
Well, this really is the payback for like the last 10 years of being a Valley sports fan, right? We got a great football team, a potentially great basketball team. I know they lost the opener. And the weather's great for like the next 6 months,
that's
like you just
exactly
said.
Exactly right. Can you say out in your backyard watching the television, what a beautiful thing that is going to be. But right now it is. You know, for me, it's obviously the Arizona Cardinals. I cannot get away from it. I know the start of the season. I'm fired up for the Suns. There's no doubt about it. Cannot wait to see how this season is going to unfold. The expectation is so high for them. But the Arizona Cardinals being 7-0 by beating the Houston Texans this weekend, for me to come out and feel so confident in a victory for the Arizona Cardinals, it is a weird, weird sensation. Even the Warrior Queen at home, she's looking at me like, what are you doing? Who are you? And yet I'm walking around with this confidence of what is going on inside the Arizona Cardinals locker room, Luke. What is going on inside there? I'll tell you what's going on. There's a bunch of bad, bad dudes inside that locker room. They're going out, they're letting their play prove it. And not only that, too, they're holding each other accountable. The best of the best. Holding each other accountable inside that locker room, Luke.
This is Sarah Barshop, who is the NFL Nation reporter who covers the Texans, okay? So just so you're not driving around thinking, well, you guys are just way too high on the Cardinals. This is what she had to say on Bickley and Murata yesterday.
I mean, I think they could beat the spread. I don't know about pulling off the upset. Not with Davis Mills. I think if Tyrod Taylor's playing, it's a very different game. Now, I don't think the Texans are 1-5 if he's playing. But we've just seen, like, they're an undisciplined team. And that's the thing Brandon Cook said after the game, after the loss to the Colts. He said, you know, we keep making these mistakes. It's an individual thing. We've all got to want to get better at that. They have these penalties. There's mental mistakes in coverage. You know, it's not been a secret. Everyone's been talking about this week. And so when you're making, like, for the Texans to win a game in general, they can't be making those mistakes that they have been making. But also you're talking about, like, I don't think the Colts are that good of a team, and they, you know, dominated the Texans in many ways. I think when you're talking about the Cardinals, who are 6-0, I think it's a very different conversation.
I said this yesterday, Wolf, and it doesn't make me quite as uncomfortable to say it as it does make you uncomfortable to say it, but I can't envision a way the Texans win this game. And I know it's the NFL. I know anything can happen. I know there's a path. I'm not saying that they can't win the game. I'm just saying a lot of times going into a football game, I don't do it intentionally. I just kind of have like, okay, this is the way the Cardinals could win. They could win. They could win by running. They could win by, you know, DeAndre Hopkins has a big game. There's all these different ways that go through your mind. And then I usually have, okay, here's the ways that the other team could win.
Yeah.
And when I get to that part in my mind right now, if this is the way the Texans could win, it's just, you know what it is? It's just Brandon Cooks kind of tossing a football in the air looking sad.
Yeah, no, you know, I try to see a path for the Texans as well. And the only path that I can see for the Texans is they run the ball, and they run the ball very, very well. That's something they're capable of doing after watching the tape. They're capable of running the ball well, but they also need to possess the ball, not just run it well, but possess the ball and keep the ball away from the Arizona Cardinals. I'm talking about an old school approach to the game of football, where you're certainly trying to keep your defense rested by possessing the ball and keep them sharp and keep the Arizona Cardinals offense on the opposing sideline, of course. And you're just running the ball, possessing the ball, and then you need Crazy Carl to show up.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans would have to play their version of a perfect game. I think the Cardinals would have to not totally show up, or they'd have to make some silly mistakes. As you say, Crazy Carl would have to show up. Crazy Carl might be the Texans running back, because if you're driving around right now and you're like, oh yeah, who is the Texans running back? Most people play fantasy football, and usually running backs are at a premium, so most people know every starting running back in the NFL. Here's the running backs for the Texans this year.
Yeah, okay.
David Johnson, but he has 79 yards. Philip Lindsay, he has 89 yards.
Okay, neither of those guys are Crazy Carl.
No. The Texans starting running back, it would appear, their lead back is Mark Ingram.
Yeah, that's not Crazy Carl either.
No. No.
No. Here's Crazy Carl right here, all right? Do we have some crazy music right here? I mean, just go ahead and fire it up, Rick. Who cares? Kyler Murray throws a ball off some guy's head, and it pops up into the air, and some other Texan grabs it and then returns it 90 yards for a touchdown. That is Crazy Carl.
Yeah.
Right there. There it is. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. See the craziest man in the world, Crazy Carl, playing for the Houston Texans. That's Crazy Carl.
We have crazy music just on cue for this show.
Look, the ball gets snapped over the head of your punter, and he tries to pick it up and run with it, and then gets lit up, stripped up, as we say. The ball comes out. Suddenly the Texans have it. They run it in for a touchdown. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Crazy Carl just showed up for the Houston Texans. Or maybe some dude tries a 68-yard field goal at the end of a half, and it gets returned for a touchdown. That's Crazy Carl showing up right there, showing up in deep steel blue and battle red.
I hate your circus, and I don't want to go to it.
That's well done right there, Command and Control. That's what I'm talking about, some crazy music. That is Crazy Carl.
Even then, even if Crazy Carl shows up, as long as he shows up in the first half, I feel like the Cardinals can make up for it. Where you have an issue is if you let Houston hang around and hang around, and we go in the fourth quarter and it's a one-score game, then you open the door for Crazy Carl.
Yeah, I just don't see this happening. I really don't. Once again, going into last week's game against the Cleveland Browns over the weekend on Friday and Saturday, I was like, oh my goodness, this is not good. Everything is lining up where the excuse is there. Everything is lining up where everything is working against the Arizona Cardinals. There's all of these distractions, and they went out and they balled out, and it made me realize that they won that game before they even took the field on Sunday. They won that game with leadership inside that locker room. It made me realize the kind of leadership they have inside that locker room, and then I'm going to apply that to this game right here, and it's the reason why I expect no letdown whatsoever.
Attention Cardinals fans, we are issuing a code red all next week as the Cheeseheads from the North invade State Farm Stadium for Thursday night football. Packers Cardinals, that's of course the next game. Text red to 620-620 and listen for your name during the Bickley and Murata show all next week. You can win tickets, two tickets, to see the Cardinals take on the Packers. You want to go to that game. That's red to 620-620. Coming up, Suns have a tremendous opportunity to bounce back in a very big way after their opening night loss. We'll explain next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Soul. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Well, it's just one game. And you lose the opener, okay, big deal. This is not football. There's 81 more of these. If you're the Suns, you don't want to start slow. Like, you don't want to come out of this weekend 0-3. You've got two games. You got one tonight and one tomorrow. But I tell you what, Wolf, if you're looking for a way to bounce back and kind of jumpstart your season, what better opportunity could you ask for than to go into L.A. and play the Lakers on Friday night?
No doubt about it, man. Honestly, what do you want to see tonight? That is the question that we ask. What do you want to see?
I just want to see the Suns look more like the Suns. The Lakers didn't look like the Lakers so much in the first game that they played. I mean, they lost too, but the thing is, they have a bunch of new pieces. And the Suns, you know, they're working in a couple new guys, and JaVale McGee and Landry Shamet, who are going to play roles this season. It's not like they each played 2 minutes. But it's understandable that the Lakers really didn't look like the Lakers outside of LeBron and a little bit of Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Devin Booker look like Devin Booker. I'd like to see Ayton take over a game for a while, but I just like to see the team resemble what they did last year.
I would say one of the more underrated qualities of the Phoenix Suns last year was their defense. I don't think people gave them the cred that they truly deserved playing on the defensive end of the floor. They were a good defensive basketball team, and I want to see them play defense like they did last year, especially in transition, improve their transition defense based on what we saw in game one.
Here's Devin Booker talking about the keys to bouncing back tonight.
Defending, you know, that thing. We always say our defense leads to offense, and, you know, we play best when we're out in transition and moving the ball. So start on the defense end today. We didn't guard, so we didn't get those easy opportunities.
I promise you I did not hear that cut. I promise.
I know, but I promise you I played that cut on purpose.
I did not hear that cut before I said that right there. D-Book trying to steal my thunder.
Well, maybe he heard what you said and was like, that's a good idea. This is how we should win some basketball games.
No, I don't think that was the case either right there. Was it that obvious? Really, the defense. Once again, the defense, just watching him play in game one against Denver on Wednesday night, that was not the Phoenix Suns. That's one of the reasons why you felt so uncomfortable watching them, because of their defense. And in particular, I'd say the transition defense. Once again, I want to see them move the ball like they did last year. Did D-Book say anything
I don't have
that?
A Booker cut about that. I have a cut about L.A.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough one in L.A. You know, they're looking for a win also. And same with Portland. I don't know how they did tonight if they played, but, you know, this the NBA and it's back. So, you know, the games are coming and we understand that. But, like I said, it's a long season. You know, 82 games plus for us, and we realize that.
Eddie Johnson said something the other day where he was like, when he played, if he was on a team that wasn't great, they wanted to play the really good teams early in the season because they're not in rhythm yet, right? And I'm not even so sure that applies to like Denver catching the Suns, because Denver's a good team. They didn't show it in the playoffs against the Suns last year,
absolutely.
But Denver's a good team.
Yes.
But I think just the broader picture is, okay, the Suns just went to the NBA Finals 3 months ago. It might take them a few games to get going. It might take the Lakers a few games to get going, because this, you're going to watch this game tonight and you're going to be like, okay, I recognize LeBron and Anthony Davis from that playoff series, which was 4 months ago, and pretty much nobody else. Like, the Lakers are almost a completely different team other than those two guys. So it might take them a little bit of time to get going too. But I'll tell you what, I mean, the Suns start right out of the gate with the Nuggets, the Lakers, and even the Blazers, who I don't think are like a title contender, but they're not an easy team.
Right.
That's three tough games in the Western Conference to start your season.
Yeah, no doubt. What are you looking for tonight? I want to see them play better defense. I want to see them move the ball. I want to see Devin Booker play like Devin Booker.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that was the other uncomfortable feeling right there. It was D-Book. I don't know if I've ever seen him shoot the basketball that poorly.
Yeah, you want to see Booker get going because you know that's going to happen at some point, but the sooner in the season, the better.
No doubt.
I'm trying to not say DeAndre Ayton's name. How about this? I'd like to see Jay Crowder hit a three early, because when he hits a three early, then he's probably going to hit like six. And if he misses the first one, he's going to miss like six.
You want to talk about a streaky, streaky shooter. There's no doubt about it, Jay Crowder. But his effort, I never question his effort. And that's the other thing. That's part of it here. I want to see all five of their starters look like the dangerous group they were last year.
Ball movement, too. I mean, that was another area where they didn't really look like themselves in the opener. Last season, there were times... What was the playoff game? Now I'm blanking on it. The one that ended with the little play to Ayton, where like everybody on the team touched the ball in the span of like 4 seconds going into halftime.
Oh yeah, right.
But I mean that play was the extreme, but that was a staple of this team last season. It's just that quick ball movement and everybody's involved in them. And there's the open shot, somebody can knock it down, and that wasn't there. So it's you want to see a win over the Lakers, but it really is more, we're both saying this from different angles, I think. We just want to see the Suns start to look like the Suns team we saw, not just in the playoffs last year, all of last season.
Yeah, collectively and individually as well. And I'll go back to CP3. I want to see Chris Paul run this team like he did last year. Again, it's one game. I'm not panicking. I'm not overreacting. I'm not saying CP3. I want to see him because I don't know if he can do it. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying Devin Booker. I want to see him play like Devin Booker because, you know what, until he plays like D. Book, we could have a problem. I'm not saying that whatsoever. All of this stuff, the defense, of course, moving the ball, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, the five starters, all of this I fully expect to see over the weekend. I think game one, you kind of get a pass in game one. Maybe this got their attention right now. And finally, I want to see DeAndre Ayton ball out like he did in 35 games last year.
Well, they started last season 8-8, and then obviously went on a crazy run and finished just barely second in the Western Conference. I found it ironic during the playoff run last year that so many people nationally who I don't think were watching the games were like, oh, the Suns, they've had this easy path. So-and-so got hurt. Anthony Davis is hurt and Jamal Murray's hurt and all this stuff, like as if Jamal Murray hadn't been hurt against other teams. Or how about this? As good as the Suns were last year, you really shouldn't have to go through LeBron, Jokic, Paul George, and Giannis. You shouldn't have to go through LeBron, Jokic, and Paul George to get to the NBA Finals.
Brutal.
So I'd like to see them, obviously over the course of the season, avoid the middle of the pack in the Western Conference. And normally, honestly, I wouldn't. 82 games, if you told me we were going to come in here on Monday, they'd be 0-3, I wouldn't really, really care. It wouldn't concern me, except they're all games against teams that are probably going to be Western Conference playoff teams, and one of them's against the Lakers, so you have to win that just for everybody's emotional state.
Okay, just a little bit, though, you'd be just
I'd be like, what is going on?
You know what, honestly, can I just see how they played and how they lost?
Yeah. Don't ruin my fall and our very positive open to today.
That was really good right there by you, Luke, bringing it down on a Friday.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be an angry Friday, and it was getting too happy in here.
You know what, honestly, we need some angry music right here on Friday. Just go ahead and play that.
We always have some.
Give me the
eye
black, by the way, Rick. I know you got it back there. Give it to me. Let me smear it on. Streak it down the cheeks.
Do you want to hear some DeAndre Ayton before we go to break?
Totally.
All right, here we go.
You know, figure out what type of rotation we want so it won't be as long of a rotation or our guys behind, you know. But, you know, we work it out. I like when we lose games like this because the next game we're so locked in, it's insane.
I feel
you had to play that right.
Like
there.
There's a little symbolism there.
We're getting ready to we're getting ready to go to break.
Yes.
Break. Who said break?
Think about that.
Oh my goodness.
I feel like we just saw like how DeAndre Ayton thinks in a 15-second clip.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
That would explain a lot.
No, we lost. Now you wait and see how I'm going to come out in the next game.
Now we're going to be locked in.
This is how
you get like 40 great games a year.
It's one of the reasons why I cannot stand the term complimentary football. It drives me. I want to roll on the ground, scream, and gouge my eyes out. Complimentary football. Oh, now the defense did something. So you know what, boys? What do you say we ball out now? Right? What do you mean? What are you talking about? How the defense plays or how the offense plays or how special teams play, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. It has no impact on me whatsoever because all I can do is play for me and what I'm doing. Every play, I don't care what they're doing. I'm going to approach it every play. Complimentary football, please.
It became an angry Friday officially at 10:26 a.m. We were good the first 26 minutes, and then I played that DeAndre Ayton clip, and I knew it was going to happen at that point. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, after all the moves the Cardinals made this offseason, is this their best chance to win a Super Bowl? How big is that window? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke.
Let's go!
Presented by 72 Soul, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Okay, well, if I will grant you on the surface, this seems like a silly question because the Cardinals are 6-0. So, yeah, it's a pretty good time to think about trying to win the Super Bowl, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think if you take a little bit of a deeper look at it and just say... It's like a commentary on how quickly things can change in the NFL, right?
Sure.
We went into this season thinking, okay, this should be a playoff team. They went out there, they added the pieces. It's going to be a tough division, but you got to find a way to get in the playoffs. Like, I think a lot of us, myself included, thought that was, you know, not 100% necessary for Cliff Kingsbury to keep his job, but it was the logical next step.
Yeah.
But now you look at it and you're like, okay, you're 6-0. You've got your quarterback that you haven't, you have your franchise quarterback, but you haven't paid him big money yet.
Sure.
With that extra money, you've gone out and you've gotten guys like A.J. Green and J.J. Watt and all these different pieces, that James Conner and these guys that have come in and made a difference. Zach Ertz, now you just traded for, is probably only going to be here for this season. It's not just, hey, is this a year the Cardinals can win a Super Bowl? It's like, is this maybe your best chance to win a Super Bowl? Is there some urgency, like, not like you can't do it next year, but this, we may look back and say, this is your best chance, specifically because you're not paying all your money to your quarterback yet.
Right, exactly. And I love what you're saying right here, and I agree with most of it, but I reject you openly in front of King and Country.
Wow, and the entire city of Phoenix.
Because of the Super Bowl conversation once again. Listen, do you want to be a Super Bowl caliber team? Yes. Is that your goal, to get to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl? No doubt about it. That is your goal. And I think the Arizona Cardinals, the dudes inside that locker room, the coaches inside the meeting rooms, they can actually speak about that goal. They can speak about it with a straight face, and nobody's looking at them like, dude, just knock it off, all right? We all understand about the Super Bowl, and we're all Super Bowl contenders. We're sitting here at 4-3 on the season. We're struggling, okay? Don't talk about the Super Bowl. They can talk about it in a serious light at 6-0 right now. Having said that, it's great to have a goal, Basinonians. Never forget it. It's great to have a goal, of course. Set that goal. But if you want to achieve that goal, you forget about that goal. And you focus on the process every day while you're trying to achieve that goal. And that's the way that it works. And that's why I'm so bullish. I really am on this locker room that's going on with the Cardinals right now, the leadership that they have. I'm so bullish on this team because of the leadership they have inside that locker room. And I think it's going to be a situation where they're going to remind everybody to focus on the process, the here, the now, the day in and day out, if you want to truly get to a Super Bowl.
Here, I've got some comments from players. This is A.J. Green.
Very bad. I think that's why we all play this game. You know, like I said, you have all the individual stats. I think you can ask any great player. You know, they'll take all the individual stats just to win a Super Bowl any day. And I think because once you win a championship, it's like that bond that you create with your teammates that can never be broken. That you know you put in the work each and every weekend to get to the big game and win it. It's no better feeling.
So we were talking about this before the show, and I did double check. Russell Wilson won his Super Bowl in a second year.
Second year.
Got back in the third year, and then they decided to throw up Malcolm Butler instead of just running and winning a second Super Bowl. And I'm not saying everything has to be done exactly the way Russell Wilson did it, but there's a correlation in the sense of this early in Kyler Murray's career, again, all of your money isn't tied up in your quarterback. So, like, when all these guys leave, and I'm not saying James Conner will leave, but, like, James Conner's only signed right now through this year. Chase Edmonds only signed right now through this year. Chandler Jones. There's a lot of guys that right now that are playing big roles in this team that are only signed through this year. It's not like you can just give them more money at a certain point. At a certain point, that money all goes to Kyler Murray. So that's why these moves that we're seeing Steve Keim make to be able to go out and add a Zach Ertz, those get harder to make in a couple years.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, to your point, once again, is this the best that a team has looked through 6 weeks of the season for the Arizona Cardinals since they showed up here in Arizona? I think yes is the answer.
Yeah,
I think yes is the answer.
I'd have to go back and look at 2015, but yeah, I don't remember them being dominant.
Even in 2015, man, I remember Carson Palmer, when he first showed up here, struggled a little bit. 2015, he was on a roll, I think. But even then, I don't think you looked at the Arizona Cardinals and thought, oh my goodness, they are. Where's the weakness of the Cardinals? I think you could look back at that team and you could see some of the weaknesses that they had. I would say in particular on the defensive side of the ball. The offensive line was also a question mark back then as well. That was, I would say, a very average, for the most part, offensive line at that point in time. But this team, I don't think they've ever had a team as talented as this team, especially with Zach Ertz showing up right now.
Yeah, just add him in. Why not?
Look at
just
the talent on this team, even on the defensive side of the ball with Buda Baker, even with Chandler Jones. Just look at the talent that they actually have on the defensive side of the ball, and J.J. Watt as well. I don't know if they've ever had this kind of star power. I don't think they have.
This is J.J. Watt on what's important to him at this point in his career.
I think that there's definitely a point in careers where there's certain things change in the pecking order of what's important and whatnot, but I don't know when and how that happens, but I think that there also come times where you know an opportunity when you see it, and you have an opportunity to seize it. And I think that we're in that opportunity, and we just have to weekly go about our business, take care of it, and do our job.
And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you go out there and you're like, oh, we got to win the Super Bowl on Sunday against the Texans because we're 6-0. But it's just more, this opportunity is like, it's here right now. There's no guarantee it'll be here in 2 or 3 years. It's probably here a little bit sooner than a lot of us expected. Like I said, I thought they'd be a playoff team. I didn't think they would be the only undefeated team and look dominant doing it.
The biggest trend right now that I am standing and applauding is the fact that Kyler Murray is a franchise quarterback, and you have no idea how much easier it becomes to be a general manager and build a team around a guy that you know is the answer man. A guy that you know, not think, not kind of think, but know, he's the answer man. That's where I think Steve Keim and the Cardinals are on Kyler Murray. It becomes easier to win and stay a winner when you can build around a guy that you know has got you covered at that position.
We come back. Which games do we have our eyes on around the NFL this weekend? We'll tell you with our 5-star games. That is next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
5-star games. 5-star games. 5-star games. 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 The NFL's best games, as predicted by Ron Wolfley and Luke Lipinski, powered by FanDuel Sportsbook.
All right, we do it every week right around this time on Friday. Heading into the weekend, obviously the Thursday game doesn't count because we've already gotten past it. So give you our 5-star games, our big games, the biggest games to watch this weekend. Wolf, it can include the Cardinals. I'm guessing Cardinals-Texans does not qualify as a 5-star game.
It does not, Luke.
There does not have to be a set amount of 5-star games. There could be 10. There could be none, depending on the week.
Exactly right.
Any number in between. I mean, I've never seen 10 or none. So what do you have for 5-star games this week?
I've got... Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Here we go. You want me to play number one?
Yes.
Okay, let's get this all... I'll make sure we do
it
right.
Well, forget about it. We really don't need it because there are no 5-star games.
I'm still playing it.
Number one.
Numero uno.
Unbelievable.
I mean, honestly, I wanted to look at Cincinnati at Baltimore. I wanted to say, oh my goodness, there's a five-star game right there. But then I went inside some of the numbers and looked at Cincinnati as well. That's not a five-star game. Sorry. Can't do it.
I've got one.
Okay.
I think I have one.
I know what you're going to do.
How do you know what I'm going to do? I haven't even done it.
I think it's going to be an outrage.
Okay, well, you may be able to talk me down to 4.5 stars. Either way, this is the game of the week to me, and it's not Cincinnati and Baltimore. Kansas City, Tennessee.
I mean, 3-3, Luke. What are you talking about? The Kansas City Chiefs at 3-3 right now. And yet, I will tell you from an analyst perspective, this, to me, is a five-star game. I can't call it a five-star game.
You just hurt my head.
I'm just telling you right now. I cannot do it because you've got five losses amongst those two teams. Five. It is not a five-star game.
You just disagreed with me by agreeing with me, and I don't know how to respond.
Because, once again, as an analyst, from my perspective right now, I cannot wait to see how it plays out. Technically, when you're talking about the ability to run the ball the way the Tennessee Titans can run the ball, and the Kansas City Chiefs, a gutted Kansas City Chiefs defense that cannot stop the run. I cannot wait to see that. A secondary of the Tennessee Titans that really isn't good. A secondary that, well, frankly, is bad going against the Kansas City Chiefs throwing the ball. So again, from an analyst perspective, there's a lot of cool things that make it a five-star game, but it's not a five-star game when you put it against everybody else in the league in week 7.
I think at a certain point we can keep saying, oh, the Chiefs will be fine, oh, the Chiefs will be fine. If they go to 3-4, I mean, we're almost at the halfway point of the season and they're sub-500 and they're not in, like, the AFC South. I mean, they actually have to win games to get out of their division. So even if they lose, and maybe this is where you can make the case it's not a five-star game, I'm not writing the Chiefs off, but I don't know how you stop Derrick Henry if you're most teams. Are the Chiefs just going to – is it going to be like an intentional walk in baseball where they're at like the 23 and they're like, here, we're going to save all our guys' energy and injuries, intentional touchdown for Derrick Henry, just kick off to us. We'll just give you the touchdown because they're not stopping him. He's going to have 800 yards.
How many carries does Derrick Henry get in that game? That is the question. How 35?
They have to limit that.
Is that ridiculous? 35 carries in that game? 30 carries? Maybe how about 30 carries in 5 touches via reception? How about that? 35 touches in the game for Derrick Henry. I could totally see that.
That'd be a good over-under. I mean, if you're asking, is it ridiculous? Yeah, but it's ridiculous how much they use him. Let me do the math here quickly. His touches per game since the Cardinals game, okay, because the Cardinals did take him out of the game for the most part. Next week he had 31 touches, then 31, then 35, then 29. Last week they slowed it down to just 22 touches, but he had 3 touchdowns.
The Kansas City Chiefs, number 27 overall in yards per game allowed, rushing yards per game allowed, and rushing yards per play allowed, their 30th. Number 30. So, you know, you can still hear the screaming of the Lambs, can't you, Clarice?
It's going to be the only game they show on Red Zone. Because it's just going to be, oh, the Chiefs are in the red zone. Oh, the Titans are in the red zone. Oh, you know what? This is what it is. Well, if this is great for fantasy football.
Oh, my goodness. That's just, it's awful right now. I honestly wish there were more games that I think really had a ton of impact. But I will tell you, to your point, a four-star game, I'll make it even a four-star game with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans. Only because Tennessee has played so much better after the Arizona Cardinals beat them down in week 1. They have played a lot better. The Kansas City Chiefs, just wow. I did not see this coming, that their defense would be as bad as it is. And that's the reason why, again, at 3-3, I can't look at the Chiefs and call them a five-star team.
What was the other game you were talking about, Baltimore and Cincinnati? That's about the only other candidate as a four-star game.
Well, you got Cincinnati at 4-2, and you've got Baltimore, of course, at 5-1 right now on the season. Yeah, Lamar Jackson is incredible. There's no doubt about it. The Ravens' defense starting to solidify, gel just a little bit. Hopefully they continue to gel because I think they have to. They give up a lot of yards and more points than I expected, but their rush defense is coming around, and that to me has always been the beating heart of the Baltimore Ravens, the ability to run the ball and stop the run. And with Lamar Jackson now looking like he can bring the team back when they get down in games, I think that's a huge development for them.
I'm sort of surprised Lamar Jackson is still sixth in MVP odds right now. Not that I would have him first or even second, but with the performance he's put together, and then he has that like signature performance a couple weeks ago on Monday Night Football. They're 5-1, so they have one of the best records in football. They've won 5 in a row. They're one of the hottest teams in football, and he's been at the center of it, and he's been doing it by throwing in addition to running. He's making them a very dangerous team. In an AFC, this is the other thing, Wolf, if you look at the two conferences, like the NFC has all the good teams right now, it feels like, at least record-wise. The AFC, like, you've got some contenders. I mean, obviously Buffalo. But then beyond that, okay, Baltimore's 5-1. That Baltimore's the only one-loss team in the entire AFC.
Yeah.
Whereas in the NFC, you've got Dallas, you've got Green Bay, you've got Tampa, you've got the Rams. Obviously the Cardinals don't even have a loss. The top of the NFC is so much better.
So, who do you think is going to win that Tennessee-Kansas City game? Who do you think is going to win that?
Well,
Listen, for me, you know me. I'll sit down. I'll watch any game. Are you kidding me? I don't care who's playing. I'll sit down and watch any game because I absolutely love it. The game itself. It doesn't matter who's wearing the uniforms. It doesn't matter what their name is, what their number is. As my old coach used to say, your name is your number and your number is your name. I could care less about that. For me, it's just the game itself.
I think Kansas City gets it done. Because at a certain point, they're going to be backed into a corner. Like, they've got Green Bay coming up in a couple weeks. They've got Dallas a couple weeks after that. That division is difficult. Like you said, Tennessee can't really stop the pass anyway.
I love this, though. I love this because, to me, Tennessee can possess the ball. They're playing at home. They can possess the ball and brutalize the front seven of the Kansas City Chiefs. Line up and hammer them with Derrick Henry. And I will promise you, you watch this game in the fourth quarter, and there will be Chiefs turning down Derrick Henry.
Sounds like a six-star game the more we talk about it.
I think they actually win.
You think the Titans win?
I think the Titans win this game.
Yeah, and I absolutely could see that. It's just a matter of the Chiefs need it so much more. There's not really any pressure on the Titans in that division. You think Jacksonville's going to go on a run and chase them down? The Chiefs,
exactly.
Chiefs could be in last place again if they don't win this weekend.
I just think the physicality of the Tennessee Titans will demoralize the Kansas City Chiefs at some point in time.
Have you seen the commercial with Derrick Henry where he drags the tacklers out of the stadium and then he's like eating lunch and they're still just hanging off of him and then he's on the treadmill later?
Yes.
I wonder if that's real. Like, I wonder if they were just filming a documentary on him and made it into a commercial.
It's incredible. But again, if you watch tape and you watch it closely, watch how many guys turn down Derrick Henry. And when I say that, it's not just, oh, I slipped. It's not just that. It's guys that when they do tackle them, they're not doing it in a ferocious kind of way. They're not doing it like that. I don't know why I could not say ferocious.
It seems like a word
but
you would say
so
often.
But it was so weird. And yet at the same time, the ferocity of Derrick Henry turns a lot of people into cowards.
We figured this out the other day. Because you had the stat when he broke off that run last week. He was running, 22 miles an hour, 21.8 miles per hour or something. It was like the fastest.
21.8.
Okay.
It was the fastest of the week. The fastest recorded. As a matter of fact, the fastest recorded human being in this season.
So you couple that with the fact, just the way he runs, the fact that he is 6'3", basically 250 pounds. That really is like trying to tackle a golf cart.
Yes.
Going full speed.
Yes. Yep.
Like, just go out there and try to, next time you see somebody on the golf course going full speed, try to tackle their cart. That's tackling Derrick Henry.
With the plexiglass in the front of the golf cart as well.
That way you can splatter right on the front.
Exactly
of it.
Right.
Yeah, we got to get the full effect if we're going to do this. All right, coming up, two Cardinals that are already having pretty good years could be set to absolutely go off on Sunday. That's next on the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.